The Libertas Media Project rolls on. Today we welcome back James Bovard, author of a small library of books on freedom and liberty, except his most recent, Public Policy Hooligan, which is a tour de force focusing on the early learning years of Mr. Bovard's rich but dyspeptic youth, including but not limited to his service, literally in the trenches of the Virginia Highway Department, surreptitious tours behind the Iron Curtain, where he plied his new skills in public relations with select communist natives, and a brief but instructive nod to Playboy magazine somewhere buried in the curvaceous Virginia countryside. Mr. Bovard is one of America's most valued opinionators, having just been named to USA Today's elite board with contributors and newly minted thorn in the side of contentment at Washington's highly irritated Senetic Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, James Bovard.
Hey, thanks very much, Brian. That's the first time anybody has referred to me as dyspeptic.
Yes. Well, I was thinking of various times along the road, hitchhiking and enjoying some of the victuals that the Virginia countryside and European haunts offered.
Well, and that's the difference between you and Howard Stern. You know, I never hear a word like that from him.
Well, not that
I've ever been on with him, but he hearing his word choice, it always seems somewhat, shall we say, limited.
Hmm. Actually, knowing Howard and competing against him, there was really never any need for him to expand his vocabulary.
That's true.
He could get away with all sorts of things that even on FM, even in New York City, you didn't dare say. I mean, after all, we're supposed to be a family radio station, which was rather an unusual turn of phrase. But nevertheless, and then, of course, going up on XM Sirius, well, then now there's no holds barred, and even what limited vocabulary he may have had at the time was... I always thought Doug Track, the Grease Man, had probably the best vocabulary.
He was great. He was, he was a joy, and he had a fresh sense of humor, and he was absolute master of euphemisms.
Yes. Yeah, we used to shoot ski together at a range just outside of Washington, D.C. I had a lot of fun, and I was sorry to see him, unfortunately, level that gun at his foot too many times to keep him on commercial radio.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a good way of putting it.
He's still out there somewhere, I guess.
I'm not sure if he's fishing or boating or just screwing.
He's certainly pretty good at all of that. I remember he had, I think when I was at ABC, WABC, I think he had a spread in with Bob Guccione in Penthouse Magazine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I was not aware of that. I assume it was as an interview? Or?
Oh, yeah. It was an interview, pictures of his place. Of course, his wife was drop-dead gorgeous. But Guccione and I got to be semi-buds, and I went to a party over at his place there in Manhattan. I took Pia's Adora, and we were looking for...
That's your famous, that's your favorite actress, right? And there was that, there were the jokes which your co-host in New York was always doing, and tomorrow there's going to be...
Yeah, that was a running bit on the show, but he was there, and we just had a great time together. It was very convivial, and everybody... But I really enjoyed his work, his comedy, as you say, was very fresh, very unique. You had to have an IQ a little bit higher than shoe size to really get along with that program. Great town. Nice to know they're still out there. I guess Howard's still out there doing his thing. But speaking about theater of the mind and everything else, we didn't get a chance to talk at length, at least on the air, for the record, on this Senetic Shakespeare thing. But it got a tremendous amount of, well, for want of a term, coverage. At least in the...
I was waiting to see what term you would use. Talking about euphemisms, I mean, there you go. Yeah, well, that was kind of how the theater was. So.
Yeah. But what about that? I mean, it was this kind of minor Vesuvian eruption over your untoward comments in a Wall Street Journal article a couple of months back about the cultural worth of all this, the eliminating of speech and replacing it with grunts and grimaces and groans. Has that pretty much died down, or are you still their favorite fundraiser?
I don't know. I've not heard much of it recently. Things do seem to be tepid. There was a piece, this is a piece I did for the Journal mid-July, on the on silent Shakespeare, on the silent Shakespeare oxymoron, and there's a theater, a federally subsidized theater in the Washington area, that is very proud to produce a silent Shakespeare, Shakespeare without words, and it relies heavily on pantomime and scantily clad actresses and actors, a little bit of music, but and it's interesting to see what their react. Well, there was a great deal of anger after my story came out. There are multiple attacks on the Washington cultural papers and stuff like that. The Washington City paper said I was a twat troll for having written the article. And I was honestly puzzled by that. I said, twat troll, this is a new one for me. I've been called a lot of things over the years. I mean, some probably worse than that, but twat troll is like, and it was funny because some of the critics were saying I was basically a highbrow snob, and others were saying I was unenlightened. I'm saying, how's it possible to be both? I mean, I'm one or the other. It's like, folks, make up your mind. Am I hopeless or am I too refined? So,
it's the beer was the great equalizer. That's what it was right there.
I don't think that these were beer drinkers. I think I think that these were probably more white wine folks.
Chardonnay, yes.
Chardonnay, indeed. But it was fine to be called guilty of highbrow scorn.
Because
I was thinking, I was raised in the mountains of Virginia. Come on now, folks. I mean, that should make me immune to that charge.
That theater concept gives you an opportunity to see soft porn while claiming to be culturally born.
It was a quite scandal. I went and saw one of their performances, and there was a lot of gyrating, and there was folks were dressed pretty skimpy, but it came down to what the theater offered was dry humping in lieu of Shakespearean dialogue.
Did they put that in the program?
Not quite those words.
Oh, okay.
No.
How much did it cost to get in to see this?
The ticket I bought cost me $35.
Whoa. Well, that.
And that was the lowest price ticket, if memory serves.
I was going to say, that was the back of the balcony? Is...
It was the back line of the theater, back row of the theater. And unfortunately, there was an actor there who recognized me. So I got home after two or three Washington subway delays, and then flipped on my computer at 11:30 at night, and there was this big Twitter storm about, Bovard was in the audience, rah, 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 rah. And, there were some good actors there for the Synetic, but overall, Shakespeare has wonderful words. But it was funny how the controversy played out. One of the things that the theater said in its defense was that they had made Shakespeare more accessible, and they were boasting that they had placed the learning disabled on the same level, being able to enjoy it as everybody else in the audience. And the flip side of that is you're treating everybody in the audience as if they're learning disabled, as far as leaving out all the nouns and verbs, which has always been my favorite part of Shakespeare. I mean, the plots, some of the plots are good, some are kind of lame, but the magical language, which helps people appreciate English, for instance, I guess that's lots of people in the D.C. area consider that too much heavy lifting.
I kind of thought that, in these modern times when, like, for example, Romeo would have to register as a sex offender, that it probably wouldn't...
That's
go
true.
Over that well, but I don't
I'm not
going
to ask about your past on that score.
It's all right. It'd be very, very short commentary. But I appreciate you bringing us up to speed on that, because I was really kind of curious as to where all that went, and it was a little bit of excitement there in the cultural side of things. Moving on.
It was a fun brouhaha, and it's always fun to be vilified for completely new reasons.
Yes. Well, that's it's always nice to plow new territory. Excuse the expression.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Thank you very much. On to less pressing matters. For the unaware, my friend Mr. Bovard here is an avid hiker and biker. The pedal kind, not the Harley kind. Many times he'll skip out on weekends to a nearby path along the Appalachian Trail that runs through Maryland, Virginia, not far from Jim.